We started studying Trimble yesterday. Any remembrance of it?
Yeah, bitter and trembling.
Bitter and trembling.
What's your thoughts about fear and trembling?
I had thought that probably there wasn't enough fear and trembling in myself, so I asked God to show me this morning.
Good.
Where was it in that position?
Yesterday we studied Genesis 27:33. In Mark 16:8. Now we're going to Isaiah 66. It's a good thing that what's his name isn't here, because we're not going any way in alphabetical order. Anybody remember who I'm talking about? You got mad at me whenever we didn't. I didn't go on an alphabetical order.
Was it Ronnie?
Ronnie. Isaiah 66. Tell us.
Yeah, Fabio. To be struck with fear, seized with alarm, put to flight by terrifying. Also, to reverence, venerate, treat with deference or reverential obedience.
Okay, that's a good.
So, Fabio.
We're going to Isaiah 66. Thus saith the Lord. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build unto me? And where is the place of my rest? For all these things hath my hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb, as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth oblations, or sacrifices, as if he offered swine's blood. And he that burneth incense, as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. I will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes. Who's that? And chose that in which I delighted not. Hear the word of the Lord, you that tremble at his word. Your brethren. Well, that goes on and on. But anyway. So, the idea of this sort of makes invalid all of the building of the temple and all the laws of sacrifice, because they didn't see him as a revelation of Christ. They saw him with their eyes and heard with their ears instead of hearing the word of the Lord. But we are in the same position, or worse, if we don't tremble at his word. Why? Because we will automatically then begin to use the evil one for our understanding, rather than revelation of Christ, we use the evil one for our understanding. Anybody understand that? They always find a way to keep themselves in the picture. And themselves is the evil one, the instead of Christ. Everybody agree? Anybody see? That's why the abandonment of self is so critical. The first things he said to the disciples, take no thought for your own life. Take no thought.
Should we take thought to whether or not we tremble?
Then, if you do, then you're not hearing. That's why the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
So you can't hear what you're saying, so I need to tremble more. So I'll be okay.
No, you need to repent from using the evil one for your ideas. It's not a matter of anything else. The human race is gone. The human race is dead. The evil one is revealed. So to use the evil one, you've chosen your own sacrifice, and therefore you don't tremble at his word.
That would be revealed in who you are. I mean, you either do it or you don't. It's not something you can work up. And I mean, we're reading it, we're looking at it, we're seeing it. If it happens, then it's legitimate.
Let me just review what I did. We talked about it often, but I had this incredible revelation of seeing Christ and seeing my death, all of that, seeing the vanity and emptiness of the world. But then what did I do? I said, aha, now I can use this. I can use my mind to serve God. Didn't work.
But was that not of God too, that you tried to use your mind?
No, I was trying to the evil one. He's trying to keep himself in the picture.
I see it as it's of God, because that's what proves you can even see what you're saying. Without that, could you say what you're saying? So yeah, we make mistakes, but God uses those things to prove us, try us, test us.
Well, but not if there isn't fear at his word. That's the whole point. And if you don't tremble at his word, that you've got it. Now you've got the easy ride. Then
I think that's what Paul said. What shall I say then? Do we sin that grace may more abound? God forbid.
Yeah, there's this whole idea of the fear of the Lord causes the death of the evil one. The death of the evil one, and you're never again using him, produces the revelation of the mystery. But he's not going to reveal Christ while you're using the evil one. Not until you end up at the end of that. Which I did, because I pushed it to the limit and doubted my revelation. I didn't doubt it, but I just disregarded the revelation. And pretty soon, that's why I spent 4 days on my face out in that lake in North Dallas. I don't even remember where it was, but because I saw what I'd been doing.
I guess the question arises in me of, don't you suppose Christ went through these same kind of things? And he was tempted in all ways as we are.
Not after baptism. That baptism was his burial as Son of Man. Then we continue within him and his temptation. Ours is dead. His temptation was the temptation in the wilderness, in his weakness. The evil one thought he could seduce him into giving attention to the world system. And he didn't. He didn't deceive him. We must go through the same kind of tests. The tests will be whether or not you're trying to use your mind to serve Christ, and it can't happen. We are they that continue with him in his temptation. Our temptations were hopefully settled at your baptism because you got buried as Son of Man, just as he did. Now he didn't raise you from the dead. The evil one raised you from the dead. Until you see that, you walk in deception the same way I did.
I can't understand what you and Gary are discussing. It's above and beyond me. I am aware that Paul said that something about after, you know, he'd done all these wonderful things, and after the end of the race, he might not be, you know, considered worthy to be in. So I understand that. Also, as I read Isaiah, I see very much a link between the people who say, once saved, always saved. I've done the thing, and now nothing about me will ever be seen again. It'll always be Jesus. And I very much feel that that's similar to the way the Jews felt that having been the chosen people, they really didn't have anything more to do. It's not scriptural, but that verse about, or that saying about, he that doeth repentance is imputed to him as he that built the tabernacle and brought all the sacrifices. That's important because that's what repentance is all about. And that's as far as I can get with this thing, is that if you have arrived, if you in your mind have arrived because of what you've done or how you were born or who you said was your personal savior, you really could be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
That's as far as I can get with this.
Yeah. Poor Samuel. Chapter 16. Anybody there? And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul heareth it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And those shalt anoint unto me him whose name, him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, comest thou to peaceably? Now why did they tremble at his coming? They trembled because they knew they were off base. They were trying to choose their own king, if you will. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and the town trembled at his coming, and said, "Come us, thou peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably, I am come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves, and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sacrificed Jesse and his sons, and called them to the sacrifice. He sanctified, excuse me. And it came to pass, when they came, he looked on Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord anointed is before him." But the Lord said unto Samuel, "Look out unto the countenance, or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. Look not on his countenance, or on his height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart." Then Jesse called Abimadab, and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither hath the Lord chosen him." Then Jesse made Shammah to pass by, and he said, "Neither hath the Lord shown him." And again Jesse made of his sons seven of his sons for to pass through before Samuel. And Samuel said unto Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Are here all your children?" And he said, "There remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep." And Samuel said unto Jesse, "Send and fetch him, for we will not set down till he cometh hither." And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy, and without, and with all of a beautiful sustenance, and goodly to look on, goodly to look to. And the Lord said, "Arise and anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of his oil and anointed him in the midst of the brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Now, what is all that? They started out fearing because Samuel was coming, and they knew they were screwing up. And then all the sons passed before him. None of them. So we always try to make ourselves king in the same way, till all of our what we think is good about us has passed by. And then God anoints the hidden one. But he anoints him at your death. He doesn't anoint him in you until your death happens. Until you see that you were not just got, you didn't just get wet when you got baptized. It wasn't some rite that we do to please God, and because we got baptized. We get baptized because we see the emptiness and futility of our own lives, no matter what we have done, no matter how long we have done it. We see finally our death at baptism, never again to rise again. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's go to Ecclesiastes 12. We keep trying to. The thing that I didn't expand on, and I'm glad you said that, is we get baptized, and somehow we think that, well, now we just got rid of the bad stuff. But it takes some time to understand that all parts of you been looked at. They've all been refused. All of your good deeds, all of your intelligence, all of whatever. Until finally, there's no more of you after the flesh in any way. And that's when you see your death at baptism. And then Christ, David here as a type of Christ, was revealed. But we find excuse after excuse to keep ourselves in the picture.
If we could see with his eyes and look at ourselves honestly, we might see the same thing.
Well, I mean
that's preparation for baptism.
Yeah, I mean, you just... You have to know that, and I've said it so often, you are more evil than the evil one, because you are the evil one, but you're hidden. The evil one is obvious. But the evil one is you, is hidden. And so you always think there's things that you've got to keep doing, and things, there's a million reasons why you can justify keeping yourself alive. But they all fail eventually.
Well, that goes to show that it's not baptism as in go wash in water. That's an act that we do, like we take the bread and the wine, and just out of obedience to an act that reminds us, but it's baptism as in realizing
it's your death.
Your death. And that comes, that's the process of sanctification. That is how every day when he opens our ears, we come to him. When he opens our eyes, we come to him. It's the realization of him as all. And that comes gradually. It's his work. We can do nothing about that.
No, it's not true. The preaching of the cross is the power of God, and the preaching of the cross is your death.
Yes.
And so you can... It does have something to do with you, and you do have some part in it. And that's just seeing the vanity and emptiness of your own life.
But that comes when every day he reveals himself, and we have an option. Today, whom will I serve? As he reveals himself, do I choose him or do I choose my way? And so I guess that's it's a daily thing. You die daily. You see it. He opens your eyes for a minute, and what do you choose? And he opens again your ears all of a sudden, what do you choose? And as he is more and we are less, that's what sanctification is all about. That's all I can see.
Well, sanctification is a whole different thing, but the sanctification is the end result. That's when you finally see yourself on the mercy seat. That's sanctified. But this is something that's why the preaching of the cross is the power of God. Because the preaching of the cross is proclaiming, you're not preaching the cross if you don't proclaim your death and baptism. So preaching has a great deal to do with it.
Preaching, what do you mean by preaching?
Well, I mean, it's again.
Listen.
It says the preaching of the cross is the power of God.
Okay.
Because the preaching of the cross has to produce your death. And you finally see you didn't get wet at baptism, you got buried. But it has to do with the stop rebelling at the preaching of the cross. And that's not, the rebelling isn't God's fault. The rebelling is our fault.
Correct.
And so it's the moment you face this mind-bending thing that you, as Son of Man, you died at the cross. If one died for all, then all are dead. It's not waiting for something to be, you're not waiting to be dead. You're waiting to see your death and burial. But the waiting of it doesn't have to take very long.
No, it doesn't have to, well, I guess, but...
All I know is from that time that I screwed up and spent those 4 days in the mud, I have never again given my mind any importance at all. I think that's what I've lived. I'm sure I screwed up a million times, but fundamentally, I have not ever again valued anything about me. But it was a rough time to get to that point, and that was a blessing. And I just pray that each one of you can see that the preaching of the cross, you're not preaching the cross if you don't preach your death. Otherwise, you're just preaching about the cross.
Well, that's what the true preaching of the cross is.
Pardon?
That is what the true preaching of the cross is.
And that's what every word of the Bible reveals.
Yeah. That we died with him there. Yeah.
All right. Well, we didn't get to the powerhouse yet, so we'll have to continue on this. For a while, I believe. Any closing thoughts? Responses? What happens, again, let me just explain it from my own experience. I went for a long time studying just to start as I do now, studying, but I was blinded, and I was convinced that I was preaching the right message. I may have been, but I wasn't living it, and so anyway.
I think we all do that when Christ first opens our eyes. You know, you go around doing stuff, but if we are truthful in our heart, I remember all those efforts, there was something empty inside, like something disgusting. When I faced that disgusting stuff one day, when he again opened my eyes for a minute, and I realized, Lord, why is it that, you know, I keep trying, but I feel something. And then he showed me, you know, how yucky I was. How extremely, I mean, how pure yuckiness. And then, when that was accepted, now every day I fail. But he opens my eyes and I'm so sorry. Ugh, I'm so sorry. I reject that dead body. I'm, you know, you have killed me, and your son is the one that is full of the life, you know. And then, you know, so, but yeah.
But that's what happens. That's why we're studying trembling.
Exactly.
Because I'm not too sure anything else can break into that darling place that each of us have.
Yeah.
But when you find out that if you've heard, you tremble at his word, then that's a whole different picture.
Yeah.
I just saw something that God made man and put the instinct of survival in him. It's the strongest instinct there is. Will do anything to not die. And I believe that's kind of the source of the power of the Antichrist, is life at any cost, whatever it takes. And that's what we fight in picking up the cross, is that survival instinct that keeps raising itself up, which we identify.
But the survival instinct is not just survival. The survival instinct is becoming better or getting more. It's all about realization of self, because that's the fall. That's what happened at the fall. This is why the scripture in Matthew 18 is so incredible. Except you be converted and become as that little child, that darling infant, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And becoming as that darling infant is to lose. The evil one can't be fixed, because he is self. That's his whole purpose: self-advancement, self-betterment, self-everything, even self-knowing Scripture. But the issue of when you see and can hear what it really means to tremble at his word, and you'll stop, you know, a lot of times we study scripture to try to prove ourselves right. That can't happen. You study scripture to see your pure evilness at your best. And the cross becomes a blessing at that point. All right, take it, big guy. Time to talk.